medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, 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 and welcome to All Paws Pet Talk. I'm your host for today, Deborah Martin, and I've got some fascinating guests on the line waiting to talk to you. I would like to welcome our first guest. It's Darlene Arden. She's an award-winning writer, lecturer, and author of The Irrepressible Toy Dog. She's also written a book about cats called Cats Meow, which I can't wait to ask her about. And Darlene, are you there? Let's say hello.
I am indeed. Hi, Deborah. How are you?
Hi, I'm so well, and I'm so pleased to have you on the show. First, tell us about the Cat's Meow, because that was a fascinating.
Oh, thank you. The Complete Cat's Meow is everything you need to know about cats crammed into as much space as the publisher would let me have. So I've even used cat trivia as photo questions under photo titles under the book. In the black and white photos under each of the photos. And it's got a marvelous color section but what I really wanted to do was tell people how to best raise, train, care for, and live with a cat and create that wonderful human-animal bond. So I did something nobody's ever done before in a general cat book. I went to responsible breeders and asked them how they raise their kittens so that anyone, whether they're working with feral cats, trying to work with those cats, whether they're fosters or they're working in a shelter, can use these same techniques, or even a new owner, of course, can use these same techniques and apply them to their own cats. And they can give their cats the best possible start in life. My cat just arrived on my lap while we're talking about it.
Yes, she knows you're talking about that subject, doesn't she?
Actually, she absolutely does. And any time my hands are free for a cuddle is a good time.
Yes. I'm actually a dog person. I've got four dogs. And so I've been dying to ask you this. I know that obviously it's an obvious question. What's the difference between dogs and cats? You know, we'd say stay to a dog and they do. We say stay to a cat and they say what's in it for me, right? So they're different personalities. But what else can you tell us about the differences?
I'm glad you asked that, Deborah. There are many differences, and as you probably know, I'm a certified animal behavior consultant, certified for both dogs and cats, and I have been a long-time dog owner. So I understand it from your point of view as well. What's this about? First of all, there's a horrible misconception that cats are aloof. They're not. They're very interactive pets. They want attention as much as the dog does, but they want it on their terms when they want it. They're much more selective. So if a cat chooses you, you're really honored. The dog would run up to Jack the Ripper and say, "Hi, can I show you something in silver?" Unless it's a guard dog, in which case they're a little more aloof. The cat, for the most part, very few cats run to the door to greet visitors. For the most part, the cat will stand back and say, "Okay, are you good enough to be someone I need to approach?" Now, what's interesting is the cats can be trained very easily. They're incredibly intelligent, but they're not in the least bit aloof. They're not loners. They're solo hunters, and that's where people get hung up. That's where their mistake is. Now, cat people will invariably complain to me, "Trying to read a book and the cat's on my lap," or "I'm at the computer and the cat's on the keyboard." Well, hello, the cat's trying to solicit your attention. Or they claim you can't train a cat, and yet they tell you, well, as soon as the can opener comes out and they hear it, the cat comes running. Well, you've just trained your cat. So operant conditioning, clicker training, works as well for cats as it does for dogs. But they need to know, surely, what's in it for them. Is the reward interesting enough? But it's the same as with dogs. It's either they're food motivated or they're affection motivated. is something that they want, or they want to play with a certain toy. So it's the same three motivators that will get them going, but you need to know your animal well enough to know, no matter which species it is, what it is that they really, really want.
Yes. What can you tell us about
body language?
What can you tell us about the difference in intelligence? I know that sounds like a ridiculous question, because it's like saying, what's the difference between oranges and apples? And you can never really say, because they're just different. But do you think that dogs are less intelligent, or is that like you can't even put a quantifier on it?
I don't think you can really put a quantifier on it, because there are more differences among dogs than any other species. You look at them with height and then size and intelligence. And they vary from breed to breed. Some of this is true with cats. Cats, however, by and large, are incredibly intelligent. And there are people who are dog people who are going to be listening saying, oh, that woman's crazy. That's because they haven't lived with a cat. My theory is cats are so bored because they don't get the interaction that they need that they must be doing the mental equivalent of twiddling their thumbs at home. They need play sessions. They love to train. Did you know that there's cat agility now?
Oh, I think that's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. Tell us more about that.
The cats love it. You can train your cat at home, and you can sort of make agility equipment use things in the house so that it will easily translate when you go to, if you decide to go to a competition, whether you do or not. This is a pretty neat idea. You can use one of those cat tunnels to go, so the cat will go through the tunnel. You can put chairs together lying down, and the cat can learn to jump over the rungs of the chair. And you can lead them through just the way you would a dog. You can set up all kinds of things, weave poles, things to climb and stand on, so that they're getting mental and physical exercise.
Sure.
And they have a great time.
Yes, I can imagine so, because they've got those beautiful eyes, and when they look at you, you know there's something going on. You know what I mean? It's not just a blank stare, or I'm just being...
Oh, no, they're never blankly staring at you, and they're always lively, and they're always interested. I don't know that a Persian would be as excited at going through an agility course as, say, an Abyssinian, which is a more active breed. But then again, I'm not interested in personally doing, you know, going camping. So it's the same kind of differences that we all have. Is what's your interest? How physically active are you? And if you have a cat who's active, whether it's a pedigreed cat or a moggy, it's up to you to engage that cat. And if they're not physically active, you can train them to play a children's piano or do all sorts of cute little things. And definitely play with them. Use an interactive toy. Two or three times a day for 5 minutes at a time. Put the toy away between play sessions. It becomes very special. Plus, the cat isn't getting caught up in the strings of the toy.
Right. Now, I see, Darlene, that you've written hundreds of articles and columns for all sorts of major dog and cat publications. So you are quite knowledgeable about this. I'm fascinated by your book. How would I get it? Do I have to go onto your website and I can order it from there?
You can go to my website, which will click through to Amazon.com. It doesn't matter what part of the world you're in. If there's an online bookstore, you can get the book. It was released April 5th, or you can walk into a brick-and-mortar bookstore, and they should have it. They can certainly get it. It's The Complete Cat's Meow. You can also get my other books through my website. Some of them are available as e-books now for download if you have a Kindle or a Nook. They're everywhere you want to be, but they're certainly available. And the latest news, the book came out on April 5th. It's now gone into a second printing, The Complete Cat's Meow, and it's been translated into Italian.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So, Darlene Arden, what is your website? Give us your URL so we can find you.
My website is www.darleneardern.com, darleneardern.com, and you'll find some interesting free articles up there for both dog and cat owners, lots of pictures, lots of information, and if you click on books, you'll see my full series of books.
That's fantastic. Well, thank
they're
you.
All dog books except for The Complete Cat's Meow. For small dog owners who have small dogs, big hearts, the Angel Memorial Animal Hospital Book of Wellness and Preventive Care for Dogs is available as a download at Amazon now. It's a little harder to get a hard copy or a paperback, but they should also be around. And
great, darling.
You can also
thank you.
Get
we have
my behavior
yeah.
book. Rover,
actually
get
to,
off her leg.
We have to go to a break now, so this is Deborah Martin, and I'm your host for today. Thank you so much, darling. That was fascinating and informative. I'm certainly going to be buying your book, and thank you so much. And we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Deborah Martin, and this is All Paws Pet Talk. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Squeak and squawk and speak and talk to
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk. This is Deborah Martin. I'm your host for the day. And my next guest is an astrologer. Joyce Levine is her name. Now, Joyce is not a pet astrologer. You are a very learned astrological writer, a teacher of motivation. You do astrology classes. Are you there, Joyce? Hello.
I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Nice to meet you and welcome to the show. You have to tell me, what does astrology have to do with pets?
Well, every living being has an astrology chart. Actually, you don't even have to be a living being. From the time a pet is born, just like the time a person is born, where the planets are reflect what their character is going to be like. So that it's not an accident that different pets, even of the same breed, can behave very differently.
And my God, and she's that's huge.
I'm sorry.
I just said this is absolutely huge. I've never thought about it this way before, and I'm sure there's people out there that haven't ever, you know, thought that their pets might have, like, let's say, their Libras or their Virgos. Is that what you're saying, that they actually have personality traits? This is marvelous.
Absolutely. There's absolutely no question. And sometimes people call me, and they're looking to adopt a pet, and they want to know if the pet's going to be compatible with them. So
wow.
I have their birthday, and And they get the pet, if they can, they get the pet's birth date, and they see whether or not it's going to be a good fit. And so based on when the pet is born, it's not just where the sun sign is, but it's really where all of the other planets are at that moment of birth. And even pets in the same breed can have a variety of different personalities. And so a breed is going to dictate some characteristics. But pets within the same breed, some may be friendly, some may not be so friendly. Some may want to be more homebodies and not happy when you're around, and others are going to be perfectly fine whether you're around or not. And
okay,
a lot of that is based on the pet's birth date.
So if I wanted to get, let's say, a new puppy, I would call you up and I would tell you, you know, that I'm a Libra, let's say, and I'm compatible with, I don't know what I'm compatible with, I suppose other Libras and Aries or something like that. So what would you do? You would construct a chart and give me a...
I would construct your birth chart.
Okay.
Based on your specific date, time, and place. So not just the sun sign, but where
okay.
all of the other planets are. And then we'd look at that, and then if you had a pet that you were considering adopting, we'd look at the character of that pet and see whether or not that's an energy that you want to have in your home. Because it's just like people. Different people like different characteristics. It's like if we're looking for romance, we don't all want the same person. And
sure.
In the same way, different pets are going to be more to our some pets will be more to our liking than others.
Yes.
And
this
and
is amazing. I'm just fascinated by this. Have you had a lot of, do you do this quite a lot, or is this sort of a side effect of what you do? I mean, do you do pets more than people?
Well, I mean, I really do people more than pets, but I definitely at one point I was at a pet store and people were coming in and they were like, dogs they bring in, cats they don't bring in, but they brought in their pets. And one man said to me, you know, he had three different cats, and he said, nobody understands how they're all so different, but based on their birthdays. And so I work with people, but I definitely work with people, like, looking for pets. In fact, sometimes people will call me, and they'll want to know, you know, the pet is sick, how serious does it look, and part of that will show in the person's chart, but also in the pet's chart, it can show whether or not they're going through something, you know, that may be passing or that's going to last a bit longer or be more serious. In fact, I just had a client that her pet was in, like, a more serious period of time, and she was watching her dog, and she rushed him to the hospital. And now he's okay, but he wouldn't have been okay if she wasn't diligent at that point.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, we've actually interviewed quite a few pet psychics on the show, and I can see how, you know, if you're presented with a mysterious situation and you don't understand it, you could benefit so greatly from going to someone who can just sit down and actually have a chat with your animal, and he can tell them things. You know, they're the intermediary, and the dog or the cat gives them information, and then they give the information to you, and it's just fantastic. And now I'm beginning to see a whole new dimension here with what you do. It's fascinating.
It's amazing how it actually really works. It's like I have two cats now that are Sagittarians, and they're indoor cats. Like, they probably shouldn't be, but my last cat was a Leo. Which is the sun sign that we're just about leaving now. And he was like the king of the house. He was very gracious. He had a strong Venus, which is the planet that has to do with beauty and grace. He would jump on a table and nothing would be moved. Everything would still be in its place. And it would be, and the two I have now have strong Mars. They may jump on the table, they may miss. If they get on the table, they will knock things over. And if they don't knock things over when they get on the table, they will bat them off to get them out of their way.
Oh, my goodness. It's
so
amazing.
They're Mars and not Venus, so they're much more assertive.
Sure. Yeah, I can see this. This is amazing. I've got four dogs, and they've all got completely different personalities. You know, one is graceful, one is jittery, one is fearless, another is a little skittish. You know, it's just amazing. And I'd love to sit down and have you do charts for them, and I bet you we would find correlations all over the place.
Absolutely. Are they different breeds?
Yes, I've got two Aussies, one Great Pyrenees, and a little Papillon, who's actually the head of the whole pack.
Yeah, and I would bet that the small one will have the most assertive chart if he's the head of the pack.
Yes, he's very assertive. He's very, very smart, even though he's got the head the size of a sparrow. And he's amazing. They're so completely different. The Great Pyrenees is really mellow, and she just rolls with the punches and takes everything in her stride. The Aussies are sort of athletic. You know, come on, what can we chase? What can we chase? What can we chase? You know, they're just completely different personalities. It's amazing.
Well, if you can get me their birth dates before we talk again, I'll be happy to look at them for you.
That would be fascinating. Give us an example of one that is there one that comes to mind that was like an especially fascinating case that you had?
Well, actually, a client came in. She had a huge German Shepherd, and she was going to mate him, and she wanted to know whether basically this was a good time for sex for him. And it turned out that it actually was, and she was very successful in the breeding. But there
Joyce,
was also...
I'm... I'm so sorry. I have to cut you off because we've got to go to a break, but I'm really enjoying talking to you. I certainly hope you'll come back and talk with us again. This is Joyce Levine. Just give us your website before we go to break so that people
can
find you.
Sure. JoyceLevine.com.
Fantastic.
Your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo look it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426 or on the web www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Let the play. I'm hungry. Tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry. Can't wait. I'm hungry. Let the play. I'm hungry. Tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Pet Talk, and I'm Deborah Martin. I am your host for today, and I really want to thank our guests. We've had a fascinating little while here. We've had Darlene Arden, Cat's Meow, author of The Cat's Meow, and we've had Joyce Levine, a wonderful astrologer. That certainly was an eye-opener for me. I never would have thought of doing an astrological chart for my dogs, but now I'm certainly going to. And our next guest is a revered veterinarian. Now, she's not just any veterinarian. She's a veterinary dermatologist. Try saying that three times fast. Veterinary dermatologist. I understand that that is quite a rare, not very many derm, excuse me, I've got trouble with my lips. Not very many veterinarians are dermatologists. So I would like to welcome Dr. Holm, Dr. Kristen Holm. Are you there, Dr. Kristen?
I'm right here.
I certainly hope you're having less trouble with your lips than I'm having today. I feel like I just washed them and I can't sing with them. They're all over the place, so forgive me.
You're a little tongue-tied today.
Yes, I know. It's the weather. I'm actually sitting here in Florida. I don't know where you are, but we're 100 degrees with full-on humidity, and August is a pretty difficult month here in Florida, so I hope you're cooler and more comfortable than I am.
I hope so, yeah. It's a little more comfortable up here, and so I can completely understand.
Okay. Now, speaking of Florida, actually, I didn't mean that to be a good segue, but it actually is, because I get terrible, terrible allergies here in Florida, and it's partly the weather, and it's partly we've got a lot of greenery and foliage. I live on an acre right by a forest where there's deer on my property, and my four dogs all have skin problems to varying degrees. The Great Pyrenees is quite an itchy little guy, and the other guys have it periodically. So I know you have an amazing product, so I'm going to turn this over to you and let you tell us all about it.
Okay. Well, first of all, as you know, allergies are a big problem in people. It's also a big problem in pets, as you have found out with your dogs. You said you have four dogs?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
So, yeah, and the Great Pyrenees is nothing to there's nothing to ignore when you have a big dog like that with allergies. So what you might not know, or you probably do, but your listeners might not know, is that dogs, when they have allergies, it's primarily affecting their skin. So whereas we get watery, itchy eyes, dogs get very itchy skin, which keeps them awake at night, keeps pet owners awake at night. You know, we all want our pets to be happy. So it becomes quite a quality of life issue. As a veterinary dermatologist, one of the most common things that I do every day, we don't have separate allergists for pets, but the dermatologists actually fill that bill because, like I said, it affects their skin. So what we do as on a very regular basis is allergy skin testing for dogs, and it's the same exact procedure that they do for people. And then once we get, we actually test them. For instance, my panel that I test for tests for about 63 different things, and they range from grasses to weeds to tree pollen and mold, as well as house dust mites and even some insects. And believe it or not, we actually test for pet danders, such as dog, cat, and people. Well, not that people are pets, but believe it or not, sometimes we see dogs that are allergic to people. But anyway, what we do is once we find out what they're allergic to, we go ahead and make up a vaccine, just like your human allergist would, and then we give an injection on a regular basis, and that's something that the pet owner does at home. We do allergy shots for dogs to desensitize them because allergies are basically an inappropriate immune response to something that's normally in the environment. So what we do is by giving it injected under the skin, we kind of fool the body into understanding that this is really something that we can tolerate, and it's kind of like giving shots for a virus, anything like that. So basically, what we've realized with my company that I've co-founded is called Healthy Goo, and our first product is called Doggy Goo, and I'll explain in a minute why we have such a kind of a cutesy sounding name for something that's not really playful at all. It's very scientifically founded, but basically, we realized that a lot of dogs, unfortunately, don't have a veterinary dermatologist close by, or maybe their pet owners aren't able to take them to a dermatologist to get this testing done. So we've developed a product that is aimed at relieving allergies in these pets, and it's really exciting because we included three different products in this to combat allergies. One thing is probiotics, and we all know probiotics for digestive health, but probiotics are rapidly gaining exposure in the medical world for helping with allergy symptoms. And that, a lot of that reason is because the immune response, one of the main places where immune response begins is actually in your gut, and that's kind of an interesting concept. But by normalizing the immune system in your gut, you actually can decrease the response from allergies. So the other product that we have put in there is actually a yeast cell wall extract. And there are components to this specific yeast organism that when the byproducts of this actually decrease inflammation and can also help with signs of allergies. And there are, again, a lot of clinical studies backing that up as well. So everything that we've put into this has scientific background to it. The last exciting thing that we put in there is actually these same allergens that are from the environment. We actually put them in there to be absorbed through the tissue, the thin tissue in the mouth. And when you give it orally instead of injected, it's called sublingual. And sublingual immunotherapy is actually a technique or a method that's been used in Europe for years and is now starting to gain some ground in the United States. Of course, in the United States, we tend to lag behind because we require more and more studies and proof and all that kind of stuff. So that's coming, and certainly the scientific studies are backing it up as a very viable alternative. Now, the nice thing about sublingual immunotherapy is that we no longer have to give those shots under the skin. And, you know, show me any kid who wants to go to the doctor for these allergy shots, and I'll be just absolutely shocked. I know my daughter doesn't want to do that. So,
the dogs are the
same way. No. And my dog, you know, dogs are the same way. They don't like to get these shots. They might tolerate it the first several times, and they say this might be better than jamming a pill down my throat, but it's not a really good alternative. So when we can give these allergy, quote-unquote, shots, rather than giving with a needle, we can give it in the mouth. It's also absorbed more rapidly under the tongue. So what we had to do was find something that would allow this material to stay in the mouth long enough so that it could be absorbed, because we don't want it to go right straight to the stomach. And if you've ever watched a dog eat, as I'm sure your big dogs know, that they kind of inhale it. You wonder if
they
there's
really
any chewing going on.
Yeah, they really do. It's amazing. You know, it's interesting that you say we've got one of our Aussies right now is on allergy medicine, and what the vet told us to do is take the pill and wrap it up in peanut butter. But the problem is the pill is actually nasty. It's very bitter. And so all that's happened is he waits till we turn around and walk off, and then he spits it out, and now he won't eat peanut butter because he's suspicious. He thinks we're putting a pill in. Yeah, so I understand that you, with your formulation, your doggy goo, it's a peanut butter consistency, but there's no taste of medicine, right? So they just think they're getting a treat.
Right, there's absolutely no taste of medicine. If you taste the ingredients that we put in are, two of them are powders and one of them is a liquid, and they essentially don't have a taste. And if they do have a taste, it's not very detectable. And by the time, and it's very concentrated, so by the time it's in the peanut butter, you don't really taste it at all. And we haven't had any palatability problems other than, you know, you always have your dogs that are going to turn their nose up at everything. And my feeling is that if they turn their nose up at one thing, they might like it for a little while. You try something different, they're going to like that for a little while. So they're just finicky dogs. But, you know, for the most part, the majority of dogs absolutely love peanut butter, as you said your dogs do. And there's really no taste of medicine. And the nice thing about the peanut butter is that it has that, you know, if you've ever tried to eat a big, huge spoonful of peanut butter, you know that it takes a little while to kind of get it all the way through your mouth. And that's exactly what we were looking for, so that these ingredients have time in the mouth to get absorbed. And we're actually finding that dogs that have been on doggy goo and have had allergies even for years, all of a sudden they're having an allergy-free season. And as you probably have noticed in Florida, and we're noticing here in the Midwest, it's been a terrible year for allergies. So for dogs to be, you know, responding well to this and in a relatively short period of time, it's not an instant thing. It takes a little while to retrain the immune system, but we're finding dogs that respond in less than a month, which is fabulous.
This is phenomenal. So, it sounds like a breakthrough formula that you have. So we're just going to go to a break now. So I thank you so much for coming in. And just give us your website so that people can find your amazing product. I wish I could take it. Will you make one for me?
Well, we can't approve it for people yet. But, yeah, that sounds good. The website is www.healthygooaltogether.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back in a moment.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
What has a wonderful taste for your tongue? A favorite thing if you're old or you're young. A wonderful thing.
Hello, and welcome back. This is Deborah Martin for All Paws Pet Talk. And we've had some fascinating guests on today. My next guest is equally fascinating, Karen Watts of the Pet of the Day website. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Deborah.
Hello, my friend. How are you today?
I am good.
Are you hot and uncomfortable up in Boston, or are you nice and cool?
I'm nice and cool and comfortable.
We've been talking about the steamy Florida weather. So now you have a Pet of the Day website, which is a fascinating website. I think you've also got, have you got Cat of the Day and Dog of the Day?
Yes, we do. And they're all linked to each other. So if you've got a cat of today, you'll see a little icon for dog and a little icon for the pet.
Okay. What was the pet of today?
Today's pet of the day is actually a twofer. We have two bunnies, and they are best friends. And in the pictures, you can see them. They're always together. They're eating together. They're just smushed together in the way that only bunnies can do.
Right.
And their names are Beezer and Sunday, and they're both rescued.
Excellent.
So it's good.
I was wondering, how does a pet get to be Pet of the Day? It's an honor, I'm sure. Do people sort of nominate them and write into your website? Can people just nominate their pets and you pick from them?
Yes, we ask people. If you go to petoftheday.com or either of the other two sites, there's a little button that says nominate my pet. But all we ask is that people send in a photo or two or ten of their pet and the information about it, like age, breed. You know, sometimes the breed is patently obvious, sometimes it's not. And a story about why their pet is special to them.
Excellent. So, well, I actually have an Australian Shepherd that I wanted to nominate. His name is Jazz, and we called him that because he barks as if he's singing. He sort of has this high-pitched, you have to hear it to believe it. It sounds like a jazz singer, so we called him Jazz. But he has this weird ability. I think he can see ghosts, because sometimes he'll stop right in the middle of a room and look up, and he'll be watching something invisible along the ceiling. Have you ever experienced that?
You know, I haven't. Usually when my rabbit, my latest pet, heard something or saw something that I couldn't see, it's because her hearing was better than mine anyway.
Yes, that's what I thought, too.
and in her case, if we shone a flashlight out in the backyard, we'd see that there was a raccoon near the trash can or something.
Yes, exactly. But do you think that perhaps they have not? It's not just. I know they have better hearing, and I know they have a better sense of smell. Almost all animals. But do you think that there's a chance that they perhaps can sort of see beyond the veil?
You know, a lot of people on our website have experiences where they're sure their pets have seen ghosts. often it's a cat. Sometimes it's a dog, and there are all sorts of theories about. The fact that I think it may be that cats especially are hunters. And so they need to be attuned to things that, you know, the rest of us blunder on past.
Right.
But other people say they have heard that animals and young children can see ghosts because they're more open-minded. Other people think that it's because the veil between lives is thinner for them.
Yes. I don't want to ambush you with a question, but does anything come to mind as a sort of fascinating incident that, you know, where a pet was able to see things that were mysterious?
Oh, yes. We have, you know, people talk about that all the time on our website. Mm. And we have one woman whose friend had a cat who would see something in the house that just scared the heck out of him, and the cat's fur would stand on end, and it was a place by the staircase where the cat would just sit and watch for hours.
Then
sometimes he would suddenly growl with his fur standing straight up and bolt in the opposite direction.
I would say that sounds like a ghost to me.
Yes, when the cat wants to go upstairs, he'll walk a couple rooms away to get to a different staircase rather than use that hall where that is.
Oh, my goodness. So, did they ever call anyone in, or did they ever get to the bottom of it and find out what it was?
You know, Laura's friend did not. We have another person who actually had an animal psychic come, you know, consult with them, and they were able to tell her that, yes, there was a bad presence there, and how to cleanse her room, because she had two dogs and one would not go into the bedroom suddenly.
Wow.
And she was kind of uncomfortable when she was sleeping, but this is a dog that was, you know, normally up on the bed with her.
Right.
And so once she cleansed the room, whatever that entailed, then he was fine.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I think that, we had an earlier guest on that did astrology for animals, and it made me really think, you know, they're just a different species. They're not necessarily from a different planet, you know. And so, you know, yes, I'm sure that there are, you know, odd energies that they can pick up on. And I think that the idea of, I'm assuming they smudged or did something along those lines. Perhaps they did an Indian rain dance. I don't know. But I can see how it would clear the energies.
Yes, and, you know, I know that I am probably so oblivious to so many things compared to a dog.
Sure.
And especially, I'm oblivious to things compared to other people because I only have half the hearing of a normal person anyway. So I'm sure dogs think I'm, you know, about as bright as a rock.
Oh, I don't know. I know they love you. I'm sure they do.
Well, you know, I do have the opposable thumbs and can work the can opener and the giant tin, you know.
Exactly. But they're probably sitting there rolling their eyes, right?
Like, well, the funny thing with our rabbit was when she would warn us, you know, it wasn't ghosts, but it was some animal outside, she must have thought we were insane because we would run toward what she was telling us where the danger was. She's like, I'm telling you, run away, not toward it.
That's so funny. Oh, Karen, this time has gone far too quickly. I'm sorry to let you go, but we'll have you back again. Thank you so much. People can go to Pet of the Day and read all sorts of interesting anecdotes. And this is Devra Martin, and this is All Paws Pet Talk. I hope you'll tune in. I hope it's been interesting. Thank you so much, and we'll see you hopefully next week.
Now you can walk and exercise your pet, no matter what your condition, using the Bike Toe Leash. There is nothing like the Bike Toe Leash. It easily attaches to bicycles, electric scooters, and other mobility equipment. It acts like an extra left arm to communicate and to control your pet in the healing position. You can install it in minutes. The Bike Toe Leash is recommended by trainers and used by owners and working dog handlers of all kinds. So now you can get out and have fun and exercise your pet very safely. Go to our website, www.allpawspettalk.com, and go to the sponsor page and hit the Bike Toe Leash banner, or call toll-free 857-245-3364. That number once again, toll-free 857-245-3364.